Welcome to the Mark Howard Broadcast. The Mark Howard Broadcast is a God-driven, God-centered, God-inspired talk show featuring God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and Brother Tony Myers. I am that I am, your host, Anthony Ford. If I sound a little excited, it is because it's Friday, and it's not that thank God it's Friday. No. It's thank God it's Friday with Brother Tony Myers teaching. That, to me, distinguishes Friday apart from the usual, oh, it's Friday, let's hang out, let's party, whatever. No, it's Friday. Let's learn from Brother Tony Myers and the Holy Spirit. That which I think is life-lasting as opposed to hanging out for, nothing wrong with it, but this, to me, has replaced what I used to think is, thank God it's Friday, I'm going to hang out or whatever. Now, I can come in here and listen and let my mind be saturated with the truth of the Holy Spirit. And I can rest assured, because Brother Tony Myers has demonstrated over and over and over again that he's really, and I know said a lot today by different people and different things, but he really is a God-driven, God-centered, God-inspired man. And his testimony is backed up by really experience. This is not theory. This is not theological. This is experience. Experience. How would you say that? This is a man. This is a man who had Lou Gehrig's disease, right? Lou Gehrig's disease, which generally is pretty much a death sentence. But God didn't give him a death sentence. God gave him a life sentence. And when I say that he Brother Tony Myers, with this Lou Gehrig's disease, and by the way, being an atheist at the time he contracted this disease, God healed him while being an atheist. I must make that clear, because many of us are so hung up on, well, I can't be healed because, and brother, by the way, Brother Tony Myers has a whole bunch of series on this on YouTube, on Facebook, and he has books all over the place where you can find out the truth about healing. It's not dependent upon us. It's already been done by the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. But my point is, I digress. Brother Tony Myers was healed of Lou Gehrig's disease, but not by himself, not by him being holy, not by being righteous and all that, but by the mercy and grace of God. And in a sense, what Brother Tony Myers has been doing is giving that same teaching that he learned from the Holy Spirit through his trial and tribulation to give it back to us. That's why I say, thank God it's Friday. Because this Friday, we're blessed with a man, like I said, who is God-driven, God-centered, God-inspired, and went through something for real, and didn't have to go through cemetery and all the things and learn all this and preach at us and talk all big words and everything. We say, what? He doesn't rob us of the simplicity of Christ. And now I introduce to you my friend, my brother in Christ, Brother Tony Myers. Brother?
Thank you, Anthony.
Anytime.
And right now, I thank the Heavenly Father for everyone that's listening, for everyone that will listen. And I speak an open heart and let the revelation of the Holy Spirit come through the words that I speak. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
There is a huge trend today. And that trend is those that went through seminary and those that went through all the schooling, those who felt they had a calling on their lives, are now turning to atheism.
Whoa.
To a form of it. Some of it could be called spiritual atheism, but just trust me when I say they're turning to atheism because they actually are starting to research out of the restrictions of religion, out of restrictions of their denominations or what have you, out of the restrictions that they were taught, and then finding out there wasn't much truth in them. Now, some turn spiritual into relationship. Others turn flat out into atheism. And so there's varying degrees of this. Now, all these things is because they're taught by men to men. Human wisdom. And it was the one reason I turned atheist at the ripe young age of 8 years old. Because none of it made any sense. And when you step outside of the brainwashing zone and the just going along with the crowd and the just amening, but when you take a step back, your spirit knows the truth. And the Holy Spirit within you knows the truth. But we have to get out of the rhetoric, the rationalization, just traveling downstream, traveling with what everybody says, and start letting the Holy Spirit guide our ways. You know, Proverbs 21:2. Now, this is from the Peshitta, by the way. And this is Proverbs 21:2. Like streams of water, so is the king's heart in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord sets the heart in order. Now, the Lord sets a heart in order when we are willing to listen to him and to take the hands off the reins. I'm going to get to my next thought in a second. Let me put that on hold. But the key to this is, if you are restricted from what is only in scriptures, then you're not in relationship. Because what is only in scriptures, the old covenant is what? The Old Testament, all those books are what? They're a history lesson.
Right, they're Old Testament.
They're to a specific people for a specific time period.
The old way.
And has got nothing to do with us today. How many of us are Hebrew? Not very many, correct?
Absolutely. How many Hebrews are Hebrew? Wow.
And actually, there's nobody with legitimate Hebraic blood left.
Right.
People do not realize this. Just because a person calls himself a Jew is a religion, not a bloodline. There are no one of Hebraic blood left on the face of this earth. And we're talking about from the lineage of Abraham. Back in Jesus' day, and you could check this out, back in Jesus' day, there was only 20% of Hebraic blood left in the Hebrews. And that was in Jesus' day before they were scattered over the face of the earth. My point being, we think and we're taught that the Old Testament applies to us in one way, shape, or form. And it does not. Can we use those things as an example? Yes. History is valuable. I am not dismissing scriptures. But I am saying our lives should be structured through God setting our ways. And once again, I study scriptures. I respect scriptures. Very much so. No one will catch me not studying scriptures. I use scriptures to back up what I say. But here's the thing. Even the Pharisees could quote the scriptures. But did they have relationship? No, they denied having the relationship. The Lord no longer is, and that was the problem with the law, where the law is restrictive with no power. Our power is in relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, our brother, with the Father, who is now, we are now his DNA. So then, for instance, these pastors, they're doing research. They are finding things out there, finding out truths. Some get led into a very deep spiritual walk. And are still believers of Christ. They're just no longer believers of Christianity.
That's interesting.
And you've got a good many of those who actually study it out, throw away and trash what they were taught. If you ever walk up to a pastor and ask a simple question, they cannot give you an answer. It's because they don't have an answer. Because they studied what they were taught. And they were limited in that study. And so they don't know. That's why, you know, the books that are in the Bible are not the only Holy Spirit inspired books. There are many Holy Spirit inspired books. But since religion restricts, because in order to keep you on their page, what do they have to do? Keep you ignorant. What was one of the biggest things Paul stated? I do not want you to be ignorant.
Right.
And there is nowhere Paul tries to limit what a person read. Now, with that said, this whole thing is about transforming. We are transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. That is where transformation comes from. And that's actually in Romans 2:12. Or is it 12:2?
Good question.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay. So it is Romans 12:2. Do not imitate the way of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, hold on. Right there. It does not say renew your minds to what is evil, to what is wicked, to what you need to call out. So we're not renewing our mind to point out sin. We are not renewing our mind to point out wickedness. We are renewing our mind to what is the perfect will of God.
Amen.
To what he finds acceptable. Well, what we do is this. That's evil. Should a Christian celebrate Halloween? Should a Christian do this? Should a Christian do that? Brother, you ought not to think that. That's what we're renewing our mind to. And with that type of mind renewal, that is restriction. And that is not what this verse is saying. How do you get transformation? That's the question. And the answer is this, that you may discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you know the truth, then one, you can spot a lie without thinking about the lie, because you know the truth. With dollar bills, if you have handled thousands upon thousands of true dollar bills, you don't even have to look at the fraudulent one. You know it, and you throw it away. We're not renewing our mind to what is sin. We are not renewing our mind on what not to do. That was the law, what not to do. Relationship is personally knowing what is good, what is acceptable. In fact, in Philippians 4:8, that is exactly what Paul writes. Think on these things, that which is good, that which is pure, that which is holy, that which is acceptable. Think on these things. So we don't have transformation because we are too worried about the negatives. Why do we not see healing? Because we are so focused on the sickness. And what happens? We get our eyes, just like Peter walking on water. He walked a good long distance. Then he focused on the waves and began to sink. He called up for Jesus. Jesus reached out. He came back up to the top. They walked back. Jesus did not carry Peter back. Peter walked on the water back. Because now his eyes were focused on the truth. They were no longer focused upon the lie. Be ye single-minded. Single-hearted. If you're worried about doing what's wrong, you'll do the wrong. If you are focused on doing good, you will do the good. So if you know what the perfect will of God is, now because he's within us, we can do that. And so that's what we have to renew our minds to. There is no transformation when we're restricted. And when we restrict God, Romans 8:11, one of my favorite verses. God is giving life to our bodies. And that, once again, that is, y'all should be used to it. That is my paraphrasing. But there's so much in Romans. And if the spirit of him who raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within you, so he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead and also quickens your mortal bodies. Hello. People will try to say that means, and in fact, what they do is they just skip over that real quick.
Right.
They just skip over it real quick and move on and say, see, your body's dying every day. Yes, when you love the things of the flesh, of the physical senses, you are on the path to death. Therefore, your body is decaying. But if you're sensitive to the Spirit who is quickening your mortal body by his Spirit which dwells within you, then guess what? You shall live and not die. Where there is life, death does not exist. So when we focus on life, when we are focused and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit who resides within us, then we are renewing our minds to God's perfect will. And as we're doing that, that is where we are moving forward. That is where the power of the Holy Spirit works in us and through us. It's not what goes in that defiles a man. It's what comes out.
Right.
What are we speaking about? Are we pointing out sin? For if those worshipers, if the blood of bulls and goats had consecrated those worshipers, then they would have had no more consciousness of sin. But we keep trying to renew our minds to what is objectionable to God, to what is evil to God, to what is wicked to God. And then what? Then we're not sensitive to the life. We're not renewing our minds. Therefore, we're not being transformed. We automatically want to go the negative. God automatically goes to the positive. Jesus said, I have come not to destroy the world, but to save the world. And you look at all the terms of judgment. God's judgment is restoration. Now, let's take this a step further, because once again, we always want to look at the negative. We always want to look at the evil. And we want to think on those things where Philippians 4:8 tells us the exact opposite. So we want to give ourselves an excuse that there is a force that can force us to do evil against our will. And there isn't. For instance, let's look at Matthew 16:23. All right. Y'all are familiar with this. But he turned and said to Peter, first of all, scripture's right there, says who he's talking to. He's talking to Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not thinking of the things of God, but of men. So first of all, who's he speaking to? Peter. He is not talking to a spiritual being named Satan. He is saying, Peter, you're an adversary to me. Get behind me, adversary. You are a stumbling block to me. This is what he is telling Peter. For you are not thinking of the things of God, but of men. It is our hearts that either condemn us or acquit us. Let's look at James 1:13. What we don't understand is we're to renew our minds to truth. We are to renew to restoration. That is what brings about transformation. That's what brings about the change. Let us see in James, and I'm at James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But every man is tempted by Satan. Is that what that says? No, that ain't what that says. Correct. Let's see what it really says. But every man is tempted by his own lust. He covets and is enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. In other words, death. And sin, when it has matured, brings forth death. Do not err, my dear brethren. For every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Now, look at that and remember this verse. Therefore, if Christ does not condemn you, who can condemn you? So what's the key to transformation? To turn away from the ways of men. In the Old Testament, it states, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Well, guess what? Since Christ, we have his Holy Spirit in us. Now we can conceive his ways. We have the example of the one, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Jesus did not go around pointing out sin. And he went around healing sickness. So he wasn't in a constant warfare and a constant struggle of what's causing this. No, his focus was on what? Life.
Right.
That's what brings about true transformation, healing, and a sanctified lifestyle. And so when we start focusing on the truth, that's what we'll see. And so many times people struggle because in their religion, they are taught to recite verses, but never take the time to go past the verses into relationship. And that's why people still struggle, because they're looking at the outside circumstance. Well, God doesn't love me because I'm still sick. What parent wants to see their son, their daughter sick? None, including our Heavenly Father. He has given us every means, but we have to enact it by what? Focusing on the truth. And there are so many things that religion, like I said, religion restricts, religion condemns. Religion only has one perception. And in religion, you cannot look from a different perspective. That is why so many people that come from cemeteries, the words that they say will be, this is what the scripture says, and don't mean nothing else. And they read for word from word from a translation without digging any deeper. That's why we have this mythology of women cannot speak in church. Really? Well, that's what it says. And the Word of God says so. And I believe the whole gospel, the whole Bible. You can't believe the whole Bible. Because if you believe the whole Bible, then you also believe that the father is schizophrenic and loves to kill people. We have to believe Jesus. He was the only one that knew the Father. Now we have that opportunity. But if we restrict ourselves, then we don't see the truth. It's through our own lust. By what? Because we are focused on what we see. We are focused on circumstances. The truth is greater than the circumstance. When we look past the circumstance to the truth, that's when we're walking on water. So we get, our minds are transformed the more we focus on truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how true transformation comes. It does not come. And in fact, Jesus said it. Do not worry. It does not come through focusing on the problem. It comes through focusing what is the truth. Well, the truth is, God wants me divinely healthy. In Philippians 4:10, Philippians 4:8, as much as I'm saying that, I guess I just need to go ahead and read it. That would make sense, even though I just about got it memorized. But you know, Philippians 4:8. We could very easily weigh everything we speak and say, does this match? And then we will know how to renew All right. Okay, this is from the NLT. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the peace of God will be with you. So, is worrying about an upcoming doctor's report, does that fall within Philippians 4:8? No, it do not.
Correct.
Does worrying about am I going to get COVID, does that fall within Philippians 4:8? Anthony?
Does not.
Does worrying if I'm going to be driving and a car's going to run into me, does that fall under Philippians 4:8?
Once again, no.
Does worrying about what somebody else thinks when I'm teaching truth, does that fall about under Philippians 4:8?
Once again, no. Negative.
Does worrying about whether brother so-and-so is cheating on his wife and telling everybody else about, does that fall under Philippians 4:8?
No, it doesn't. That falls in gossip.
Okay. So what should I be focused on? In my thoughts, therefore in my actions. That which is good, pure, holy. So therefore, what should I be thinking about? Well, if I've got a problem I need to be healed from, guess what? I should be thinking life. The life of the Holy Spirit is in me. Therefore, I am walking in divine health. That is the truth. So we need to get what the things of men are, which I talk about Matthew 16:23, but there are so many other places. The wickedness comes from other men. It comes from having the thoughts of this world. That's where the evil and the wickedness come from. When we think about these things, whether they're in a good context, such as, I'm not going to drink. Okay, that's a good context. But then what are we still focused on?
The drink.
So, therefore, if I'm worried about what my brother is doing, what am I still focused on? Sin.
Right.
So then what will happen to me?
Sin.
Exactly. So instead of showing my brother, my sister, my whoever, the better path to walk, which is by thinking about the things that are pure, holy, just, admirable, instead of that, I fall into the trap. I will turn around and probably do the same sin I was pointing out in my brother. How do you walk a sanctified lifestyle? By renewing your mind to the truth, to that which is pure, just, and holy. And refuse. We take all our thoughts captive. But we kick out those that are not right. And we enslave the good thoughts and keep them. And one thing I tell people to do is, when you are thinking, and when are you weighing against Philippians 4:8, you determine is not within Philippians 4:8. You speak that thought out, then kill it with the truth. I'm just going to give the example of healing. So, for instance, oh, I'll never be healed. Oh, this pain is just so bad. Okay, that was my thought. So I will speak something like this. Guess what? Yes, the pain feels bad right now, but I am healed. And the Holy Spirit's giving life to my body. So that thought of pain being so terrible is a lie. I have the life of Christ. Now, those are just my words as an example. But you combat negative thoughts by speaking it out. Get it out of your head into the atmosphere. As it's going out of your mouth, you're killing it by the sword of truth. Then you refuse to speak on it again, to think about it again. That is the surest way. Look at it like this. So you're speaking the negative or the lie. That lie is in a bubble. That's how it's being transformed through the air, okay? Now, if you take the sword of truth and pop that bubble, then guess what? That lie can't come back in, can it?
Right.
So you just effectively killed the lie. But you've got to do it. And you've got to be willing to take your thoughts captive, to change your heart about it. No, here's the truth. And that's all I'm going to think on. So, questions, Mr. Anthony? Oh my gosh, I done talked 45 minutes, bro.
Well, no, it was very, very, you know, it's hard to put it in words, because from the very beginning, when you said, you know, why have so many believers left and went to atheism? And I was just remembering how the founder of Hill Street Music, one of the biggest Christian music organizations, said he no longer believes. Just like that, he no longer believes, and he's gone to atheism, and several others. So, I mean, it's real timely of why many believers have been disillusioned. They say it doesn't work, and, you know, I no longer believe like that. And listening to what you're saying, it's clear why. It's like you're saying, if someone is sick, using that example, someone is sick or healed or whatever, and they'll say to you, well, I prayed for this to go away. I prayed, I fasted, I moaned, and I groaned, and I cried. And I said, but what are you moaning, groaning, crying about? The sickness. That's what you're saying. Well, you're not really believing in God. You're believing in your sickness. I thank the Holy Spirit for opening my mind, because the fact is that what you're saying, if you really, like, you know, actually, this really is the Holy Spirit. If you really, and I'm learning this, so please, and I've learned it from Brother Tony, so I'm not going to try to put myself on any kind of pedestals. I was also in religion and church, and probably was heading in that direction of not believing if certain things didn't happen, like Brother Tony and other things. But if you really listen to us believers, I mean, particularly in a church setting where I was, and you talk to us and you'll say, man, I have this headache and I don't know how to shake this. This headache is killing me. Every morning I get up and I have the headache. Did you pray over it? Yeah, I prayed over there, but I still got the headache. Then you think of saying, well, you made the headache greater than God. I mean, you're talking about how the headache is there, how it hurts, how the pain of it, it ain't never going away. A lot of what you said. But then when you tell the person, well, the Holy Spirit's in you, he doesn't have a headache. But there's no connection because we're not taught it, number one, like you said about the Old Testament. Yes, we're taught a lot about the, and something that I was very steeped in, the Ten Commandments. I was always taught that the Ten Commandments is for yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit adultery, which is correct. But Jesus said, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't steal, you won't commit adultery and everything. You see what I'm saying? He said the same thing. So we don't have to go back to the Old Testament. You probably heard that statement. The Old Testament has the New Testament hidden, and the New Testament has the Old Testament revealed. I don't know why we go through all these spiritual hoops. It ain't nothing like that. Now, I get a lot of this from Tony Meyer's books, I'm going to be honest with you, and by the Holy Spirit, to be all fairness. After thinking about it and saying, what does that mean? Actually, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit does talk to you. I'm shocking as this, and I bugged Brother Tony Myers for months. I don't hear him. I don't know. He said, no, you're not focusing on him. You're focusing on what you've been taught you to hear. Anthony, I am God speaking to you. It didn't happen like that at all. God said in a still, small voice. So if I get quiet after I pray in the Spirit, and I get quiet, and I'll say, what does that really mean? It's almost like he says, I'm thinking of this, but it doesn't sound like me thinking of it, but it's me thinking of it because the Holy Spirit said to me. Tony Myers knows what I'm talking about because he taught me this. If you're asking the question and you thinking it's you, but it's not you because the answer is not like I would normally answer. So I'll ask, what's the problem here? You're thinking of the problem. That's it. That's the way I'll say it. You're thinking of the problem. Well, what does that mean? What do you think that means? Oh, I'm thinking of the problem. Therefore, the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like the person says, I ain't got no money. All day long to everybody, can you lend me? Can you give me? You got this? And then they wonder why even when they get the money, it doesn't last. It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything. Because all day long, you've been thinking about lack, 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 lack. What did God say? I come that you have life more abundantly. But it doesn't matter what he came for if you don't believe him. If you don't believe him, what's the point? And I think that's what God says. That's why he asked those two blind men, do you believe I can do this? And they said, yes. What did Jesus say? According to your faith, it is done. He didn't say Satan's got you bound. He didn't say, that's something else I want to ask you. In prayer this morning, I got this a question to ask Brother Tony. Brother Tony, in all the years that I've met you, in all the books that I've read, and I read them all, many of the things you said on YouTube, all your teachings, I've never heard you once say, now correct me, I've never heard you once say, or even your devotees, or I don't want to say disciples, but those that believe like you believe that you've taught in many instances, I've never heard none of you guys says, I command you, Satan, to come out. I command this signal. I rebuke this. Why is it that you don't do that?
Don't need to.
Why?
Who is greater? The Holy Spirit, period.
Amen. And you know,
our enemies. What's our enemy? The carnal mind. What's the carnal mind? Human wisdom and human perception. What's human perception? That is what we see with our physical senses. The enemy is not some supernatural, invisible leader of all darkness.
And something you said the other day, and I'm not to interrupt you, let's, like you said, let's suppose it was this evil entity or whatever you want to call it. Jesus made it perfectly clear. I defeated him. I made a spectacle of him. Just read Colossians. I made a spectacle of him. I defeated him. Then he said, I've given you authority to cast out this. How can he be greater than we who believers and have the Holy Spirit if we can cast him out? How can that be? But yet we do the opposite. I mean, I don't know how many times you hear believers on YouTube or whatever. It's almost like the second word, something happened. Satan tried to make this thing go off. Satan tried to get in the way of that. That's the show last night. The YouTuber went off. And this is I'm not mentioning his name, but he's a highly respected prophet. And the YouTube went black on him. And he said, yeah, we know the enemy is trying to do something. Then now when I hear them saying, no, it could have been a technical problem, but why do we automatically attribute it to Satan that he has power over the airways, power over YouTube, power over everything, and we have nothing? Yet, like you just said, what did God say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The world. And when you look at Jesus and look what Jesus did, what didn't Jesus do? He walked on water. He calmed the storms. He raised dead people. The same spirit, like you said, that raised Jesus from the dead is now in you. What can't you do?
And quickening our mortal bodies.
Right. Quickening. And if you want to explain it to this audience, what does quickening mean in this text that is being used, Brother Tony?
In a very simple terminology, bringing to life.
Right. So that would mean healing, bringing to life, restoration, quickening. It's an old term for me, quickening. But the pack, like you said, though, I've heard that statement used and I've heard it glossed over. I've heard it skipped over. Or I heard it say, well, that's the spiritual.
They skip right over it and go right to the part. Your body is dying daily.
Right. And whatever we can't explain, and it's not that we're criticizing us, what Brother Tony here is doing is trying to teach Christians to believe correctly, to believe properly, like Philippians said, those things that are good, those things that are pure, those things that are noble. These are, think on these things, because the way we have it set up now, we think on the things that are, that God has already defeated. I defeated the devil. I gave you power over. I did all that. It is finished, is what he said at the cross. He didn't say, well, I'm gonna come back again and I'm gonna finish it up. It is finished. By my stripes you were healed. I've given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. There's greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. We should be examples to the world. We should be, just like he said, the light.
But yet we want to beg God and ask God to do something he's already done.
And that
he's already given us the power and the authority and told us how to use it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that eat the fruit of it, those that love the fruit shall eat the fruit of it. So in other words, death is in the power of the tongue. If you love death, you'll eat that fruit.
And what you say all your life, when you're a little child or whatever, I know a grown adult, I think I was guilty of this also. My family has always been fat. My mother was fat. This was fat. And then you wind up doing the same thing because you already told yourself that 100,000 times.
And yet, we blame a generational curse when it's our mouths.
Yeah, right. Our mouth is a generational curse. And it's amazing how we have, I don't know, I think, now we know that Jesus is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God. But I think, no, I believe, listening to his people, his children, I wonder if God shakes his hand and says, like he said to his disciple, oh, you perverse generation, how long must I be with you? We should, even in Hebrews said, you know, you can't even, you're still on milk. And this is the way the church teaches today. Well, it might have been God's will that that boy is sick. Yes, because God's trying to teach you how to actually relate to your son better. I've heard that. Believe me. By sickness, you can love him more now. Where do we get that from?
That is nowhere in scriptures. And in fact, I'll use the Old Testament for that. What did God tell the children of Israel? You choose this today, life or death.
And you know what?
Choose life.
And I know you know this. When you say choose life, the perfect example is in the Old Testament. If you want to really, like, only going by the Old Testament, 40 years, their shoes didn't run out. They didn't get sick. They didn't get ill. They didn't die. 40 years. He fed them. He clothed them. He did everything for, in spite of them mumbling, complaining, murmuring, doubting. He still, God was faithful in spite of his people. He did everything for them. When they got pregnant, they had perfect children. I mean, everything was, read it. Just read it for what it is. You want to go to Old Testament? Read it. And what does Jesus say? I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, no, that wasn't you. That was my father who was doing all that. He was the one that was feeding his people, clothing his people, making sure they don't die, making sure they don't get thirsty, everything they want. And meanwhile, they were murmuring, they were complaining, they were doubting him, and everything, every other, if you read in that altar, every other paragraph, and they doubted him at the Mirabah. They doubted him when he had water. They doubted him when he had food. They didn't believe. And God got so angry. He said, how long must I be with you people? These 10 times I've done miracles for you. They didn't believe it. And here today, Jesus done been to the cross and everything, suffered a horrible death. Said, it is finished. And what do we say? I don't know why I can't get rid of sickness. And Jesus must say, what is this? And we can't blame it on Satan. We can't blame it on the devil. Because you know what God says? Look, I've given you my son. I've given you my word. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've given you every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What's your excuse? How would you answer that, Brother Tony? What is our excuse?
We have no excuse, but the reason.
Right, the reason.
Is because we are not renewing our minds to the truth, so we're not being transformed.
Why aren't we being taught this? Many.
Because it's the ways of men.
And I'm not saying that, Brother Tony, because Brother Tony said there's some. You can find them if you search. There's some pastors who do teach the correct, interpretation. I don't mean Bible interpretation of the scriptures that God is saying. There's few. I mean, one of your, I was going to say disciples again. I don't know why it's coming. One of the people, Michelle Snyder, was mentioning a person that you had mentioned to me a long, long time ago, John G. Lakes. I think that's his name, John Lakes.
Yes.
And he had an amazing healing ministry. Really amazing. People actually, the hospital, he closed them. Some of those hospitals, all the people, I'm saying, well, how did he do that? It was just as simple as what you're saying. John G. Lakes did nothing. Reading his book, he didn't command anything. He didn't rebuke it. He didn't do all that. All he did was turn the people over to believe in Jesus Christ. And he trained people to do this. He trained.
Yes.
Obviously, this was no secret. It was no deep mystery. And he never said, well, God wants you sick. God wants you ill. That man said, it is God's will that you be ill. It's God's will that you be healthy. And if you ill, you're in the wrong. And I think he's right. Like we say, if you're living in sin, that doesn't please God. If you're living in sickness, how does that please God?
It doesn't.
I thank you. But we'll say it. We won't say it to somebody living in sin. Oh, you got to get out that sin and stop that sin. God doesn't love you if you keep sinning. Whatever the sin is, adultery, whatever. But you get sickness, God understands. God, right. He knows.
We will condemn people and almost place them in hell.
Poof.
When it comes to sin. And I totally disagree with that. Let me state that. Don't let there be no confusion.
All right, come on.
It is not my place to judge my brother's actions, one who I have no influence with. It is not my place to go around and point other people's sins out. It is my place to show them a better path. And the better path is renewing our mind to the truth. And the truth is, you can walk a sanctified life because of who's in you.
Right.
You can be transformed, and the transformation does not have to take a year. And transformation doesn't have to take 6 months. The more we focus on the truth, the more of the truth we get.
And you just said a whole bunch of truth right there, because God made it clear, be ye perfect as I am perfect. He wouldn't tell us to do this if we couldn't, but he knew I was going to give you the Holy Spirit, and you have everything you need to live a holy life.
Number one, he already sees us as perfect.
Amen.
If we see ourselves the way he sees us, we will start living it out. But we do the exact opposite of what the truth is. Instead of thinking and speaking that which is good, we think and speak that which is evil.
Right.
Think and speak the wisdom of men, not God's wisdom.
Amen. And you know what? I want to it's not a disclaimer, but I want to make this clear. God in his amazing infinite wisdom has put two men here. By the way, both of us, our first names are Anthony, Tony. We're both Tonys. Tony has had world experience. I have church experience. So we could talk from both sides with experience and with authority. And I can say it for real. I was in a church. I lived the church. I loved the church. I stayed in the church. I opened the church. I cleaned the church. I was the pastor's aide, you name it. I did it. I thought I had to work my way to God. And I was faithful in doing all the work. My life wasn't changed, but I was faithful in everything that I was doing.
And were you miserable the whole time?
It was a struggle. An incredible struggle. Oh, I said a bad word. Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't help this person. It was always on a treadmill, you know, and I was at that point. If it wasn't for certain things that happened, including Brother Tony, that, and I mean it to say it like this, because of the fact that other things happened to me physically, I sought out somebody that could help me get over this. And God led me to Brother Tony Myers. That's why I say, yeah, Brother Tony Myers, because the church wasn't doing it. They kept saying after a while, well, sometimes you got to accept these things. But I never read that in scripture. Nobody Jesus said to accept it. Even in the Old Testament, nobody Jesus says, well, the lady said, I had this God. What did Jesus, God say? Perfect example. The woman was suffering for, the man was suffering for 38 years. He used to get up the pool, get knocked down, whatever. And he gave Jesus all his excuses. God said, get up and take your mat. That was it. He didn't say, well, you got to learn from it. What about the woman who was bent over? And Jesus said, well, this woman's been captured by Satan. He said, and they were saying, well, we can't heal you on the Sabbath. And he got so angry at him. He said, he healed the lady instantly. Never did he say to anyone, even the sinners, like Tony brought up a good point that I read the story, I don't know, hundreds of times. The woman who was caught in adultery, she never repented, but God yet forgave her. I mean, yeah, if you're hearing that for the first time, and some of you are saying, really, really, read the story again. That woman never said, I repent from the adultery I committed. And these are, well, there's no one here to condemn you, neither do I. We don't have that mindset, yet we have the same spirit. Question for you, Brother Tony, that some may be asking right here and now. I went through this morning in the spirit, because I thought I was dealing with, but he explained it to me. How do you know? What's the best way to put this, Holy Spirit? How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit, in fact? We say indwelling or dwelling, all these different terms. How do you know if the Holy Spirit is in you?
Peter said that this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied about. I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Amen. And let me share with you, because you're my brother in Christ for real, what the Holy Spirit had told me this morning when I was wrestling with these things at the 50. And he said, stop saying that wrestling. Stop saying that. God taught me about when I asked, and he made it very clear. He said, what did my son say? Blah, blah, blah. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open for everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks find, everyone who knocks the doors open. Which one of you men, if your son asked for a piece of bread, would give him a stone? If he asked for fish, would give him an eel? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I ask, you got it. Don't worry about it.
Let me say this.
Please.
That word ask means to make a request of, I'm trying to think of the word.
Don't stop now. Come on. Come on.
Not an inferior, but to an equal. That's what it is. To an equal. Oh, to ask, to make a request as an equal.
You know what? By just saying that, Brother Tony, the Holy Spirit.
So we are not begging. As one king to another, saying,
right,
do this for me.
And what you just said confirms the Holy Spirit. And you didn't notice. You couldn't have known. He said, Jesus did not consider it robbery to consider himself equal and with his Father.
And exactly.
That's what
one of the things the Strong's Concordance and all that don't bring up. The Strong's Concordance only says, there's three different Greek words for the word ask, and under each different Greek word in the Strong's Concordance, all it says is ask. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which that does not give the full meaning. There were three different Greek words, and I'd have to relook it up. One's like Ariel, and
one of them
each had a slightly different meaning.
One of them, I think, well, I remember one time one of your books it may have been in, I think you said Lombano was also ask and or take. Yeah.
Lombano means to receive.
Oh, to receive.
Take by force.
Yes, yes, that's it. Take by force. Because sometimes you heard, and I will ask you, what do you think the scripture means? When some of them say, we wrestle, some people have taken heaven, you know, violently. What does that mean to you?
That's talking about the kingdom of God on earth. It's not about storm the gates of heaven. We don't need to storm the gates of heaven. Heaven's within us.
Right.
Okay. That verse is totally misconstrued. All that meant was that they were being bombarded and persecuted. People were trying to take the kingdom of God by force, but the kingdom of God continued to move forward.
Wow.
That's what that verse means.
So it doesn't mean, like you said, bombard the gates of heaven and pray 50 million, scream and holler at the top of your lungs. I've been in some warrior prayers in church, and I don't know. I just
got asked one question. Are we supposed to be in God's rest, or are we supposed to be in more?
Well, we're supposed to be in rest. And I'm speaking honestly from I'm not condemning the church. I was in it since 1995, and I was faithful in the church. I still respect and love the church, but I would hope that we could teach like a lot of different things like Brother Tony's teaching. I'm not putting him on the spot. I'm just saying
I can love and respect the people within the church. I cannot love and respect the organization called church.
Right. And if he did it with Brother Tony, remember at the very beginning, Brother Tony was an atheist. Brother Tony had Lou Gehrig's disease. Brother Tony did not. It would be easy because God made no excuses here. None of us can say, and I know I can't. Yeah, well, Brother Tony got a degree in divinity. Brother Tony went to the seminary. Brother Tony studied the Bible for 20 years. Brother Tony fasted for 40 years. No, he there's none of that. He said, everything I did, I would tell people not to do. I did it wrong. In his healing, he said that everything I did was wrong. Read his book. He said, I was speaking death. I was doing everything. And I can say this because he said in his book, he attempted to commit suicide.
Yep.
This is a man who, I mean, really, you can't get any real. God has gave us, listen, now try to find an excuse with this one. The man attempted to commit suicide. The man didn't believe in God. The man was an atheist and God still healed him. So what's my excuse? So anybody's excuse now, when you have somebody, a living example, who can say, see, it would be easy for me to say, yeah, but Brother Tony, you went to a divinity school. You got a DDL behind your name. He doesn't have none of that. But what he has in front of him and behind him is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is available to each and every one of us. And Tony does not deprive it, doesn't charge you for this. Now, find that in the church. If I said it too extreme, I'm sorry, but I'm just saying, I find that you can tell what's being taught in the church by talking to other Christians. I talk to other Christians. I believe it. Every other word, I struggle with this. The devil got me bound up. Can you pray for me and rebuke that devil off me? And then I have to tell people, no, we don't have to rebuke the devil. What are you talking about? I said, yeah, I'll introduce him. See, have you ever heard of this guy named Tony Myers? No, but you don't have to rebuke and do all that. And it sounds foreign. Well, wait a minute. I with the pastor, and pastor said, we have to rebuke the devil and storm the gates of heaven and fast 7 days. I'm saying, no, this guy, maybe it ain't religion. No, it ain't religion. He doesn't preach religion. He preaches relationship. And you know what? It's hard, Brother Tony. I'm not kidding you. It's hard. Because those of us who have been in church and even in the world, as you were, a long, 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 long time, and you was in the world a long time, as I was in church a long time, it seems that we got to be dynamited. And Tony Myers has said this, and I'm only repeating what he said. Everything, and I'm backing him up 1,000%, everything that each and every one of you in the Mark Howard broadcast audience around the world, whatever, by and large, whatever you have learned in your formal church setting, regardless of denomination, Baptist, Pentecostal, Mormon, or whatever, as Tony Myers would say, trash it. I know you've got your mouth open, but Brother Tony, why would you tell people to trash it?
Because it's the wisdom of men, not of God. Start out with a fresh foundation.
And you know what? This is amazing how the Holy Spirit does this. You just said it's the wisdom of man, not God. You know what the Bible says in James about the wisdom of men? It's devilish and demonic. That's what James said about the wisdom of man.
Yes.
Devilish and demonic. You were polite. James wasn't. James said the wisdom. And people say, well, that ain't in the Bible. Yes, it is. He said the wisdom of man is discord, devilish, and demonic. And all the church, not all of them in the sense that all, but most of church philosophy, theology is on the wisdom of man, particularly courts of heaven, generation of persons.
Most of church's theology is a direct opposite of what scriptures say and our examples in scripture. When you start out with a fresh perspective, if you're looking to prove that you're right, you will, because then you will pick the verses out and turn them around to mean the harshness. But Jesus's actions do not depict the harshness that religion shows. It's not there.
What do you say, Brother Tony, to this young man, Gerald, who is asking really in desperation and frustration, I'll put his words, what's the way out?
We've been talking about it.
How do I get out?
How does transformation come? By renewing your mind to truth.
Oh, wow.
Letting your thoughts be changed.
Oh, boy, that's a big, big thing you just said. If you're in the church that's not teaching truth and you don't know what the truth is, how do you learn the truth?
You've got the Holy Spirit within. He is the teacher. He is the one that leads us into all truth. Deep inside, you know the truth.
There's your answer, sir. And that's it. That's the whole thing. Don't worry about saying the church is not teaching me or the pastor is not teaching me. The elder, the Holy Spirit. He just said it. Go to the Holy Spirit. And you don't have, Brother Tony, do you have to go all formally with these and vows?
Paul speaks that even in the very nature, even the very creature that was created by God, and all of nature speaks of God.
Right.
Therefore, all men know the truth. So therefore, by that, all men are either justified or condemned. Because the truth is all around us.
And for those, Brother Tony, who are steeped in the religion or the world, is there a special way, a special words? I mean, do I sit to the Holy Spirit, these and thous and all this stuff? How do I just talk to the Holy Spirit?
Just speak from your heart.
Amen. Amen. Isn't it refreshing to have someone who tells you?
If you take scriptures and you use scriptures, you didn't write those scriptures. And in fact, these words aren't even the words that were spoken, because they've been translated. It wasn't the exact words of Paul. It wasn't the exact words of Jesus. Jesus spoke Aramaic and Greek. All right?
Right.
So speak. When I would get offended if Anthony kept saying, well, Bernadette says, I don't care what Bernadette says. You're not Bernadette.
Amen.
You're Anthony. You tell me what you say. So therefore, when we're just repeating scriptures, what do you think God's saying?
Oh, goodness. When you just said that, what do you say to the sincere pastors? And I mean that honestly, the sincere pastors who would tell their members, well, pray this prayer in your situation. And I go to like a Colossians prayer, give me wisdom. And they say, pray this prayer or pray this scripture. What is your understanding of praying, as you're saying now, other prayers and scriptures in the Bible instead of your own words?
You use your own words. That's when they mean something. Other than that, hey, would your wife not be offended if, hold on, let me call up Joe so he can tell you when she asks you a question?
My wife's Italian. That would cause a lot of trouble. Oh, boy.
Hold on. I need Tony to answer this for me. And that, when the conversation's between you and her. Hold on. I need to get Tony's words. She don't want Tony's words. She wants Anthony's words. God, the loving Father, wants our own words. He already knows our own words because he knows everybody's heart.
Right. I know what you need before you even ask.
So therefore, why are we quoting somebody else's words?
And you know, one of the, I got to say this to you, Brother Tony, and it's not to puff Brother Tony up, because Brother Tony, I know how to speak. One of the greatest pastors that there ever was, he was called the Prince of Preachers. Most of you know his name is C.H. Spurgeon. He was one of the guys in the old days who was considered great. He was unorthodox. Even though he was a Christian, he was very unorthodox. If you listen to Brother Tony Myers and you listen to Spurgeon, you'll hear the same. I read most of Spurgeon's books as I have read Tony Myers. What does Spurgeon say? God does not want you to use somebody else's voice from their heart when you have your own. He says, God does not want his children to come to him with a prayer by Jacob. You may imitate the words, but you won't have his passion. You won't have his urgency. You'll have his words that you're saying out of your mouth. God wants you to hear from his children, from your words today in your language, from your heart. That's exactly what Tony Myers just said. And I'm sure he wasn't around when Spurgeon was around. He was around 100 and something years ago.
I've heard the name. I've never read nothing from him.
Well, you don't have to. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. No, I'm saying that you don't.
That's why I look to the Holy Spirit to provide me. That's why I don't listen to main teachers or preachers or anything else.
See, and that's what in church, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brother Tony. That's what they in church they teach you. They taught us to read mostly other, that book that there's a great big book that was the Prayer of Jabez. That was a Bible study. Everyone had to do that. The Driven Purpose Life by Rick Warren. There's so many books we had to read. Not the Bible. We had to read these books. Then we did studies on these books over and over again. And if you didn't get a book to cover what your area was, no one ever said to me personally, why don't you go to the Holy Spirit? I was told, well, Rick Warren has this book called The Purpose-Driven Life. You might want to get that. Or there's this book on the Prayer of Jabez. You might want to get that. Or this book by Billy Graham called The Life in Christ. And my library's got hundreds of books from everybody, except I never in that time, and I regret it now. Thank God the Holy Spirit is merciful. I never did what this young man, Brother Tony, is saying right now, go to the Holy Spirit. That's the first time I even heard anybody said, when he said, why don't you go to the Holy Spirit? I'm thinking to myself, what does he mean, the Holy Spirit? How? It was like,
hey, if everybody went to the Holy Spirit, then I could go ahead and retire.
Well, you're going to be in business a long time. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just, I hate to say it like that, but you know what, Brother Tony? I don't know how many of you there are. Pastor Bill seems to have that foundation, and others, not a whole lot, but I don't know how you're going to do a mass teaching. I don't know, because there's a lot of us in the body who really sincere, like you said about generational curses about two Fridays ago. You said they're sincere, and I don't mean, and you were very polite, sincere in saying they're sincerely wrong. I don't mean to condemn them. He didn't condemn anybody. He didn't, he didn't do anything like that. He just pointed out what they were saying by name and said, this can't be. How can you go to a court of law when Jesus said, now there's no condemnation to anybody who's in Christ. But if you go to a court, you got to be condemned to something to go before a judge. And if you just think it out, but we accept it like he broke it down. If you didn't hear it, go back and listen to Generational Curses. It's an outstanding teaching. Many have been freed from it. Somebody wrote on your Facebook page, I read it, on one of the things you said, that they have been freed by listening to that little program. I mean, Generational Curses. I mean, just by hearing that, freed. And it almost makes me emotional, freed. how long has that person been thinking, well, my father was an alcoholic, therefore I'm an alcoholic, my son's an alcoholic, his son's going to be an alcoholic, and it was never no curse. Brother Tony, right. What's the remedy for this?
Believe the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. Seek the truth, you shall find the truth. Seek what a human being says, and you'll find a lie. Let all men be liars. God alone be true.
Amen. All men be liars. Yes, amen and amen.
That's why I tell people, I am here simply to nudge you in the right direction.
And I apologize if I sound pessimistic. I'm just frustrated.
At some point, Tony will let you down.
Amen. So will I.
That is why Tony points you to the Holy Spirit. That's why nearly every show that I do, whether it's my live stream, whether it's Two Bros Plus Jesus, I don't care what it is. Study it for yourself. Seek the Holy Spirit.
And on behalf of Brother Tony and exactly what he just said, I know I may sound pessimistic out of frustration, but Brother Tony says, listen, it's not as bad as you think. There are many, many churches now, many, many people who are being healed, who are believing, and who are really getting this right. As you said, Brother Tony, and you stand by that, correct?
Yes.
And you're listening to one right now, and you listen to his pastor. If you listen, I don't mean to be plugging Brother Tony or this show. If you listen to his Facebook, his YouTube, get any of his books, listen to the Mark Howard Brokers, you will be yesterday's show was such, Wednesday's show, I was so uplifted, so encouraged by listening to the Pastor Bill Chapman. I mean, in light of COVID and everything else, Pastor Bill and Tony had me like, whoa, I got up to happy and praising God because they made it real. God's not mad. He's not angry. There's people being, and he said at his church, there's people being healed. Tony says, I walk up to somebody and heal them. I'm saying that ain't true. They're watching with a sledgehammer. And if you don't know what I mean, go to watch their church and look at them with the sledgehammer. Look at his programs with the sledgehammer. And maybe you'll hear, if you listen to all of them, enough of them, why this brother has a sledgehammer. I mean, it's not a prop. It's for real. And that's the fact that we got so much formality in the church. Some people standing on the pulpits and collars, and we don't have any relationship, but we got ceremony. We got tradition for real. But where is the faith that this brother Tony Myers came upon by the grace of God? He didn't study it. He didn't search 50 books for it. He didn't go to church for it. He didn't go to the world for it. The Holy Spirit came to him. And he's not special. So he always says that. And I admire this man for saying, look, I'm nobody. He just said, look, I'm going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. How many pastors, I mean, speak from the heart, have ever said, television, evangelist, whatever, said, you know, I make mistakes and I fail. I'm serious. In a moment
someone
of.
Someone say it. I have. But it's for show. It's for effect. I'm not saying it for effect.
You're more. Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm saying it because it's the truth. There will come a time, and trust me, there have been people I've let down. Do I do it on purpose? No. Do I do it maliciously? No. Has it happened? Absolutely.
And I'll
there's been times that, you know, I've received an email that said, you've never responded to any of my emails. I'm like, huh? I try to respond to every email.
Believe me, he does. Believe me, I know for a fact. When I first met Tony Myers, he didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know what I was or whatever. I gave him a little bit of my situation, and I was emailing this man 1 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning, and he was responding. Not 5 days later. I was astonished. I said, wait a minute. This guy is an author. This guy.
And I had no clue who Anthony was.
Didn't know me. Didn't know me from anybody. And I'll say this like this. The church that we left over a year ago, the pastor told my wife in front of my face, and his wife, she wanted to ask him something about, well, I believe this. Oh, you can't teach us. You're supposed to follow us. You can't teach us. We're the pastors in this church. You have to follow us. And that made my wife so angry that they had made her feel little. And I got angry that they made my wife feel little because we don't know anything. We have to follow them, that we left. That was the last.
And I will tell the truth. And one of these days, since you have me decide who will be a guest, one of these days I will get your wife on if she is willing.
You too, boy.
Your wife is a very, very spiritually minded person who has got a lot to offer people.
Thank you, sir.
And that is just the truth. And ain't trying to puff nobody up, but that is the truth. And I know most of the time when I give you advice, I already know, I've already discerned that your wife has told you the same thing.
And Brother Tony Myers
before I did.
Has never met my wife. He has never had dinner with her, supped with her, or nothing. Brother Tony, is everything he just said, and I can, my wife is doing her business. She would come in here and said, he's right. I have said something that Tony Myers told me, and my wife said, didn't I tell you that about 3 days ago? I think I know what you're doing, God. You got them people ganging up on me because it's uncanny. I know it's not an accident. Brother Tony's been saying for the longest time, get over yourself. Just talk to him. You already know. My wife was saying the same thing. Get over it. The same words. And he doesn't know her. Then one of his guests came on, Leo McGregor said the same thing. Well, you got to get over it. Just be yourself. I'm saying, now, wait a minute. And he doesn't know my wife ever. Never met her. And, you know, I would like to tell. Now, if I say that Brother Tony would like you to be a guest, she'll do it. For me, she won't. Because he already says, you ain't going to listen to me. Why do you want me to do it? You're not going to listen to me. You're going to ask Tony. Now that Tony and I agreed, now you ask me. She's right. My wife is telling me a lot to what Brother Tony was telling me, but I relate better to a man. Even though it's my wife, love my wife, but I relate better to him, particularly a man that God brought before me with my name. Because I got so much ego. I'm saying, well, Tony is Tony. I'm talking to me. That's the way I am. So, and this is not, I want to make it clear. Brother Tony and I has a special relationship based on what God did, not me and not him. Brother Tony's just hit this the way he is, really. And I cannot say he's any other way. He's never demonstrated to me after all the times I bugged him and bothered him and called him. That man never once said, this man I'm talking to, Brother Tony, I says, you know what? I can't take you no more. You're too much. All he ever kept telling me over and over again was, go to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Relate to the Holy Spirit. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. And you know what? I started doing that. It's the best advice this brother gave me. He never said, go get more books. He never said, go to another church. He never said, find another pastor. He said, go to the Holy Spirit. And I will tell anybody what Brother Tony Myers has told me, and mean it from my heart, go to the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know how to do it, get any of his books. Get any of Breaking the Boundaries, Taking Food Off His Pedestal. Yes, he has a book that's called Knocking Food Off His Pedestal. Excellent book. He's got another book, An Atheist Being Healed. That was my first introduction. He's got another book called About Healing. I got that in audio. And I'm excited about talking about his books because they help me and help thousands of others. Read the reviews on Amazon about his books. Read the reviews about people saying, I was in this whatever for the longest time until I read his book. And this is a man who doesn't say it, that Tony Myers, when you see the little description, Dr. Tony Myers, author Tony Myers, Professor Tony Myers. No, this is just Brother Tony Myers. That's it. And it said God uses the simple things, the low things to make his words come through. And this is
I say the truth, the foolish things.
Well, I didn't want to say that. I couldn't say that about you. Sorry.
And guess what? I'm a fool.
I've never heard such humility.
And a blockhead to boot.
And also a man of God.
A son of God.
Son of God. And we all can have this, what you have, what you just said, what you're explaining.
Absolutely. And it is turning off religion. And it's turning on relationship. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Wow. Brother Tony, this is a very interesting question. My husband was in the church for many, many years. He was also a deacon. About a year or so ago, he got very disillusioned and frustrated by something that happened to him in the church. I currently still believe, along with my family. My husband does not. He's now turning much more to atheism. What can I do or what can I pray to restore my husband back to God? Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
One, speak a sound mind over him. You don't have to his face, just throughout the day. Speak, my husband has a blessed mind. My husband's mind is sound. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, it's not important that he get back into a church. What is important is that you show him a path to spirituality and truth. This is not about getting people into a building.
Come on.
This is about getting people into fellowship and relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's disillusioned because of the wisdom of man.
Wow. And for you who's asking.
And I will also say, I would be 99.9% right by making a statement. He hasn't lost his love for God. He has lost his love for religion.
Amen. Right. You're right. And there's a lot of what Brother Tony is saying here, just for you, you know who you are. He calls it a word of knowledge. Is that what you call this? That what he said? What did you do? How did you know this? Because you call a word, but it's not special, right, Brother Tony? Anyone could get this, right? Because I used to think that the Holy Spirit gave out gifts discriminately. He would give one word of knowledge, one healing. But Tony said, no. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you have all of them. Is that correct? Did I explain that right? Or can you explain that better?
The best way I explain it's in the book.
Which one? I think
it's Pushing the Boundaries.
Pushing the Boundaries is still out there. You can get it at Amazon by Brother Tony Myers. He explains that whole thing about the giftings, what the church has taught for years, that the Holy Spirit, there's supposed to be 9 gifts or something like that, and the Holy Spirit gives out the gifts according to his will that you
through,
can't.
Through a bunch of mistranslations.
Right. Thank you.
It reads as if each person has this type of gift or that type of gift.
Yes.
And that's not the truth.
And
one, we all have the Holy Spirit. And what is a gift? It is something you give away. We can already communicate with God because we're his children and have the Holy Spirit within us. So God simply communicates to us something the other person needs to hear. Or God simply communicates to us, this other person needs a healing. And so it is something we are giving to a person. It is not something we have for ourselves.
Amen.
Because we can all communicate. We can all be healed. And it will shock you. I'm going to say this, and I don't want anyone to take me the wrong way.
Please.
I pray for Christians every single day since 2012. Since July 4, 2012, I started praying for other people's healing. From that day forward, every single day, I pray for at least one person, which I can't even tell you how many people I prayed over today. Okay? I lose count. Because I've only got 10 fingers and 10 toes. After that, I lose count. But Jesus said, go into all the nations.
Yes,
right, heal the sick, raise the dead, etc., etc. We are quote unquote giving people that are unbelievers these gifts. Believers already have everything they need. The problem is in this day and age, believers don't believe they have everything they need.
Oh my gosh, so true.
It was never meant for me to have to pray for another Christian to be healed. Now, is that perfectly fine? Yes, it's perfectly all right. And I always jump at the opportunity to do so. And I'm honored at the opportunity to do so. But what I want to do even more than that is teach you how to use the Holy Spirit that's already in you so you don't have to go through anyone.
Wow.
Christians don't need to be prayed for because they already have the Holy Spirit. All they need to do is learn how to come in agreement with Him.
Mm.
And that's what you're doing when you pray with an unbeliever.
Wow. And so, in answer to your question, the word of knowledge is not an exclusive gift to super Christians. And I should say, in all honesty, prior to church, and I came to the Lord late in life, even though it was 1995, I was able to get those much often. But after church, it subsided. And then when I was dabbling in speaking in the spirit, or as we call tongues, I was told that was demonic. Don't do that at all. And now if you do speak in tongues, if you want to learn this or ask the Holy Spirit to help you do this, it's not demonic. It's not evil. It's what Tony Myers and everybody else in the Bible itself would suggest believers do. Speak in unknown language, unknown tongues, whatever you want to call it. And Brother Tony, if you was to ask somebody, if somebody was to ask you, how do you do this? I don't know why that's coming up. A person, why, how do you do this? How do you speak in tongues? How do you speak? And what does that mean?
Open up your mouth and the Holy Spirit, who is part of you, will fill it. And I mean, he knows what needs to be spoken. And it is just as in a personal relationship, a husband and wife have their own language.
Amen.
That's and there is no difference.
Wow.
And so you just open up your mouth, engage your vocal cords. You have to do that. Because if you're waiting for it to happen, it ain't going to happen.
Right, right. That's what I learned. It's not. You have to do this.
If you're talking to somebody, you're the one that has to do it, right? Well, but it's the words that come out, and you just let them flow out. It is that simple. Now, I pray in tongues all the time. Did that sound like a real language to you, Anthony?
Yes. Because the Holy Spirit speaks the language that's speaking to you.
And so that is an example. It's nothing weird. It's nothing strange. Except if you go, When you hear somebody speaking in a foreign language, is that weird or strange? No.
Right. Good example.
All this is, it is a language specific to you and the Holy Spirit. And no, it ain't got nothing to do with disguising God's plans or the devil don't get. That's a load of hogwash.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's been said, that when you speak in tongues, the devil can't hear your language and he doesn't know your plans.
Quote unquote, the devil is defeated. He's already lost. And no, he is not roaming the earth. I won't get into that on this one, on this discussion. But the truth is this. God has nothing to fear. Come on. Do you really, really think, well, God don't want the devil to know his plans? Once again, what's that doing? That's making Satan, the devil, whatever, more powerful than God. And the people that teach that's what they're doing.
I never looked at it like that, but you're right. When we say that, you know, I got to talk in a secret code so it won't hear me.
That's saying the enemy ain't defeated. Throw your Bible away then.
Right. Throw your, wow.
But that's what the church is teaching. And for those that don't know, I separate it. There's the church and there's the body. The body are the ones that are looking and seeking truth. The church is the one that spreads the propaganda of men's wisdom.
Wow.
Very simple. And if we're saying that what Christ did, but he didn't really do it, then what is that? That is anti-Christ. Very simple. Yep, people package it up pretty.
Sure do.
And it sounds good. It's human wisdom.
Wow. You know, it's almost you got to ask you, how did you get all this knowledge that you have, Brother Tony, the spiritual wisdom?
Am I going to say? I know you can read my mind.
Yeah, right. I went to the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
He didn't go to seminary, Bible study. He went to the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow.
That anyone can do. All it takes is don't accept less than the truth.
Wow.
And don't believe a word that comes out of a human being's mouth. Take it to the Holy Spirit.
And no matter how sincere or how much authority they have, be it the Pope, a bishop, a deacon, an elder, it doesn't matter.
The more authority, the higher the position, the less I believe them.
Wow. Wow. That says a lot.
I mean, that's just the way I feel.
Well, that's just the truth.
All men be liars. Let God alone be true. Which, once again, that's why. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Study it for yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit for yourself. Now, I will tell you this. The Holy Spirit will confirm to you that I'm speaking truth.
Amen. That's true. I know that. That's fact.
Okay? And he will. But you study for yourself, because in studying it out for yourself, that's where you're going to cement it into yourself, and that's where you are going to make choices on what you believe. If you don't study it out for yourself, yes, the Holy Spirit may be confirming it. You may know I'm speaking truth, but it will never be anchored in your heart.
Wow. Brother Tony, you started this broadcast today with a profound question. You said, why have so many believers walked away from the faith and went to atheism, which is so true. And now I hope that after listening to you for teaching for nearly an hour and a half, 2 hours, those of you who have had doubts, and Brother Tony made a statement, really said, they're not turning away from God as this woman's husband. He's turning away from religion. So for those individuals, Brother Tony, what words of encouragement can you give those who are at their wits' end? They're all thoroughly confused. Like you said, you at 8 years old, you thought, you know, they made God seem to be schizophrenic. He loves you 1 minute and he'll kill you the next. What hope do you give to those who are right, and as many, at the wit's end, but you also have made quite a sparkle. Just to tell you, there's quite a sparkle in those who are saying, was that the problem? That it was religion? What do you tell them? What do you say through the Holy Spirit to those who love the Lord, really? But like you said, they got a problem with church and religion.
The Lord wants a relationship. He is wooing you to himself.
Come on.
Therefore, he's wooing you. He wants a relationship. So you don't have to have a go-between in the form of another human being. You simply start seeking the truth. The Lord will set your feet on the right path. And it doesn't have to be another organization of church. And if you're sick and tired of the organization, get out and find relationship. And it is there. And along with that, I'm not telling you to separate yourself from everyone. No, because when you step out of religion and into truth, the Holy Spirit will guide people to you. You will have more fellowship with truth seekers than you've ever had before in your life. And Anthony, I'm going to ask you that. Is that true? Yes or no?
I was going to say, and you know, that's absolutely true. And as a matter of fact, Brother Tony had his pastor on Wednesday, Pastor Bill Chapman, if you heard their show. And I don't know how many of you caught this, but Pastor Bill said, like in the middle of it, he said, well, you know, a lot of churches closed during that COVID. And some of them, he said, should have been closed. That's what he said. If you don't believe me, listen to it again. He said that some of those churches should have been closed because they were doing more damage than good. You know, they're harming the people. And you know what? I now tend to think, no, I know he's right. Because if you're coming out of church with no hope, I mean, what's the point in going? What is the point in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and go to a church and then come out with less hope than you had when you came in?
And I'm living proof.
Absolute.
That you can survive without a local church. I did for 6 years.
You heard that? 6 years without a church, 3 years before he looked into a concordance, 3 years. This man, before he looked into a concordance, God was teaching him all the time. He didn't have a whole bunch of books, concordances, and then everything else we got. Whereas I got Smith's Dictionary, Library, all kinds of, he didn't. He had the Holy Spirit. And if
and
Tony
so, can do it. And yet, at the whole time, I still have fellowship with believers.
Oh, he does. Yeah, he does.
All over the world.
Go to his
it's
Facebook.
It's not religion, it's truth.
All over the world. Wow.
And so I encourage you, if you are in a building that is not teaching truth, and of course, go by what the Holy Spirit's saying, but do right. not feel obligated to be in a building that is not teaching truth. And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But if they're not saying it's God's will to heal, that should be a number one foundational truth, and it's all over scriptures from the very first book of the Bible to the very end of the Bible. Yes, it is his will. If you are going to a church that's teaching against that, leave it. If they don't have the little things right.
How are you going to get the big things? Goodness.
Come on, people. Well.
I hear you, Brother Tony.
You know, just eat the meat, spit out the bone. They ain't got no meat to eat. I am telling you. Now, this is where, and I'm not judging the pastor. I am judging what they speak. Just as Jesus judged the Pharisees on what they spoke, right?
Yes.
I'm telling you the same thing. If they are talking against what Jesus performed without hesitation, told the disciples they would do greater things, included it in the atonement, and, hey, 5 minutes of study will show you Isaiah 53:5 is about physical healing now.
Is that by his stripes you were healed, correct? You said
yes.
Physical healing, even though the church teaches it's spiritual. It isn't. They say it's not physical, spiritual.
5 minutes of research will blow that away.
He's right. I've done it. All through it. And he really means physical healing. He got whipped physically. His stripes were physical. They weren't spiritual whips. He got whipped physically.
And in fact, verse 4, where it says, he carried our grief and sorrows, those words also are stated, because sorrows is the Greek word for physical pain.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. All right.
Griefs, same thing. Bodily torment. All throughout Isaiah 53 is talking the physical condition. It's included.
Even the word sozo, which is salvation, it includes physical. If you do a study of sozo, thank you, sozo. If you do a word study on sozo, a real full word study, it includes everything, everything. But of course, we've limited God. And that's not unusual, because right
then. And so if you have somebody who calls himself a leader in the body of Christ speaking against physical healing now, then I am sorry. That is not truth. And I have got no shame in saying, leave the church.
Amen. Leave the church for real.
Because if they can't get that right, there's nothing else coming out of their mouths that's truth. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear what you want to hear, or do you want to hear truth?
But I've been in my
church. You ain't gonna hear what you want to hear out of my mouth.
But I like my choir. I've been in my church for 20 years.
So what? Sing to yourself.
Come on, Brother Tony. I love this guy. He's good. He's real. And I mean that. I like that. He's real.
Do you want to go to heaven and find out heaven was on earth all along?
Wow.
You could have had a better life on earth than what you experienced. I don't think anyone wants that.
Right about
my job is to show you the better path. And that's what I do. Wow. Jesus, 3/4 of what he talked about was about our physical lives on this earth. He cared.
Amen. He cared. Still does. That's why he sent us the Holy Spirit.
And so, you know, if you're in a church that speaks against healing, that speaks against the gifts, and yes, there are abuses. There are abuses in prophetic, but everybody can give prophecy. I wish, above all else, that ye all would prophesy.
And those churches that say there's virtue in poverty, when you can't do it, and it's good to be poor because Christ was poor. He didn't even have a home.
Christ became poor so that we could become rich.
Amen.
Now, that word rich doesn't only mean money-wise.
It's every-wise.
It's every-wise. And, you know, he wants us to prosper. And I pray that as your soul prospers, so do you.
Amen. And like you said, there's no virtue in poverty, no virtue in riches. Only Christ. That's it. We get hung up on the things that the church has told us, like you're saying, there's no healing, don't speak in tongues, generational curses, and a whole bunch of other stuff that this doesn't have anything to do with God, the Bible, and even things that the Bible is, well, and we fall for it. I'm sorry, we fall for it.
And I'm not saying we won't have hard times.
Right.
I mean, not 2 weeks ago, I lost 2 of my dogs.
I don't know, you lost both of them. Wow.
Okay? No one, I am not saying you're going to have a bed of roses without thorns. What I am saying is, guess what? Greater is he who is in me.
He who is in the world.
And we have all spiritual blessings, which covers everything. And that includes in this life. Now, just because I lost my two dogs, do you think I'm going to turn my back on healing? No.
Absolutely.
Did God want my dogs dead? No. Absolutely not. Now, do I believe, and I would say this in all honesty, my dogs were each 16 years old. Do I believe they were ready to go home? That's what I believe.
Yeah, probably, really. That's old for dog. Wow.
One of those dogs, after when the veterinarian gave him 3 days, for the next 6 weeks, a month and a half, he was acting like a puppy again.
What a testimony.
So, my whole point is, do I miss him? Yes. I still, even though it's been a few weeks, I still cry about it, and I still miss him. But the thing is this, he gives us everything we need.
Amen.
And he does not tell us no.
Oh, yes and amen.
And in fact, proof of that, he granted the children of Israel things that were not his will.
Amen. Come on. So
just because they asked.
They asked for a king. Wasn't his will.
It was not his will. He did not want it. He granted it to him. It is his will for you to be healed. How is he going to deny himself? He's already given it to us. But we have to come into agreement with it. And you don't do that by saying how miserable you are or repeating a diagnosis. Well, the doctor says I have cancer and I only have 6 months to live. Well, guess what? If you keep repeating that and believe it, you are decreeing that upon yourself. Stop it.
Stop it.
Get over it. Change your mind about it. Start speaking the truth. I have the report of the Lord that says I shall live.
Shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen.
And that's what we've been talking about. I'm glad this came out because we're going right back to begin the discussion.
Right.
And that is very simply, you seek truth, you speak truth. You don't speak the lie. You don't speak the evil. You speak, like I said, you can speak it out, then you kill it. Get out of your head. Now start speaking the truth. Then that's what will happen.
Wow. Well, I could tell you, Brother Tony, I never expected that to have 2 hours with you that could be so filled with wisdom and knowledge and inspiration. And that's what it's been.
Yeah, you did. We did it last week.
It doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it. I'm serious. I'm thinking, you know, I'm looking at, oh, it must have been about, you know, maybe 40 minutes. No, Brother Tony has lent us an hour. No, I'm sorry. 2 hours. I told you, I lose time altogether of the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has given him. And I hope, I mean, really, if you have to listen to us 10 times, 20 times, I'm not saying for the course of the Mark Howard, no. If you have to listen to it 100 times, listen to it, because there was so much truth in these 2 hours. I mean, if you have any doubts or fears or misgivings, anything, listen to it over and over again. And Brother Tony, we cannot let you go without giving all the information, all the exciting news you have. Please, can you share all your information and the news you have about your tour and all coming up? This would be very much appreciated.
It's my website's tonybelieves.com. Now, on there, I've got a schedule, an event schedule of the next 5 events. Most of them are the regular things. My Monday Night Live, my Two Bros Plus Jesus, those are on YouTube. The Mark Howard Show, now twice a week on Wednesdays with a guest and on Fridays.
With his teacher.
So, you know, keep a check on the calendar.
Please.
Also, you got my YouTube channel, Tony Myers Healing. Right now, we are looking to raise donations for the movie. And that movie is about my testimony. And we're going to have, I guess you call it summer conferences. And it's called Outside the Four Walls Summer Awakening, where Amber and Kevin Camp will be part of the worship team. And I'm going to give my testimony, minister to people, speak a word. And we're going to go to different venues. And so if you have a venue or if you have a church and you want me to come, and you want to help get this movie out there, and this movie, and hey, even if you don't believe in healing, this movie will help get the truth out. And so if you're willing to participate and have us at your church, just send me an email, or Amber will be the one to actually schedule the dates. Right now, we're looking at the first couple of weeks in July.
Okay.
And so, if you wish to have us come, it'll be an awesome time in the Lord, then reach out to us, let us know. I've got my merchandise, and it's a whole different bunch of designs. Everything from Get Over It, which is my personal favorite, to I've got some designs that are scenic photographs, just a whole wide variety, and this helps me put more into the ministry. What else? The books are on Amazon.
Yes.
You can find the links on my website. And my phone number is 865-585-5406, which I think my website designer put my phone number underneath the prayer request as well.
Amen.
So my phone number is also there. Feel free to call me. If I don't answer, I'm ministering to someone else, and I will call you back.
Well, Brother Tony,
I missed.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Did I miss anything?
No, I was going to say, you covered all. I just wanted to say, for myself and behalf of the Mark Howard Broadcast, I just want to thank you. Thank you tremendously for spending 2 hours, actually 12 to 5 minutes, with the Mark Howard Broadcast. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. I know you're doing a lot of things, and I call them at 12 o'clock at night. But I want to thank you for really spending this much time and teaching the Mark Howard Broadcast and inspiring all of us to believe, to have hope, and that God is not mad at us, is not giving up on us, that it's still hope. There's still hope. If you would like close us out in a prayer, Brother Tony, I would greatly appreciate it, sir.
Be blessed, be healed, and be a blessing. B, that word, is a natural state of existence for a believer. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Thank you so much.